One of the hardest things a person can do is keep in step with a giant. My sister, 4 years older than me, was a real brainiac. I mean, she graduated high school at the head of her class. She went to Madison and graduated Phi Beta Kappa. They gave her a scholarship to go to Penn State, which included not only full tuition, but $2,500 just to go. And she did her master's there and blew through her thesis. Then I go to high school. Now, I will tell you, I had good teachers who never expected me to be her. But in the sports world, we have a problem with that, don't we? She went to Penn State during the time, of course, of Joe Paterno. Who's the poor guy who's going to get to follow those shoes? Think of flight of the man sitting behind Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and how he had to take the helm after Brett Favre. Did he retire or something else? I don't remember what it was. Okay. Which way was the wind blowing? Think of Franklin Graham, the man who took over from Billy Graham. How do you meet expectations? It's not easy. Step into the shoes of a giant. If you look in the Bible, you see classic cases of that. If you were in Sunday school this morning, and I hope that you were, you talked about Joshua. Talk about a guy who gets to walk in the sandals of a giant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, take over. How do you follow that act? Of course, I think a more daunting task would be, what about the disciples of Jesus? Okay, guys, I'm going. You take over where I left off. How do you follow that? How do you follow Jesus? So Joshua and the disciples, and therefore we all have a similar problem. But we all have a similar empowering. I'm going to look at Joshua, but I'm also going to look at the passage Danielle read. I'm going to look at the Great Commission. But I'll be reading from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you urge us, command us not to look only on the past and see what's come before us, but mostly to look forward to the task at hand, to what you have laid before us. We ask you, Father, to give us eyes that look forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometime back at a Kingdom Growth Conference, we had two early morning sessions. The first session was a Bible study followed by a lecture. The Bible study was done, and the Bible study rocked. It just rocked. I was thrilled. My heart was pounding from the first sentence. And after that, I went up to the guy who was to deliver the lecture a few minutes later, and I said, "That's a tough act to follow." He says, "I'm not following him. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to do what God has given me to do." Maybe that's the attitude I should have had all along. Here in Joshua chapter 1, from verses 1 to 5, Joshua is given authority. He is told, God says, "Joshua, here's what I want you to do, and here's what you're going to do. Now do it." He didn't need permission. He had a commission. He didn't need to ask, "Mother, may I?" He had a command. If you look back at just the previous book, Deuteronomy, before Moses dies, Moses says this in chapter 31. Moses spoke these words to all Israel, saying, "I am now 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. The Lord has told me you will not cross this Jordan." And then down to verse 7, Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous." Did you hear that said anywhere in this passage? Kind of like a mantra almost, isn't it? "Be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land the Lord swore to give to their fathers. You will enable them to take possession of it. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." So he had a commission from Moses in the sight of all the people, and then God commissioned him, saying, "Moses was right. You're the guy to do the job. I will be with you," in verse 5, "as I was with Moses." Just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Now, what's interesting is that you have to ask the question, wait a minute, they have different jobs to do. With Moses, God was a lawgiver. With Joshua, God is a military leader. Yeah. Are they different gods? No. God's doing different things. Now, Moses told Joshua, and then God told Joshua to be bold. Didn't tell him to be brazen. Didn't tell him to be stupid. He told him to be courageous, not cocky, but to base everything on the promise God had given him. And you know, sometimes we believers can get brazen, can strike out on our own and say, "This is what we're going to do for God." And one of the most horrible things you can do in a business meeting or a planning meeting is go to prayer and say, "God, here's our plans. You bless them." And I've said this at business meetings before, so I remind you now before we have one. Business meetings are not as much a place of talking as they are of listening. We want to hear what God wants to tell us. We want to make a budget for the next year. Should we tell God what it should be, or should we listen to hear what He has to say? Do we know what the next year is going to bring? Not a clue. Do we need to be told? Yeah. Because the future is founded not on our perception or our crystal ball, but it's founded upon the promises of God. God gave Joshua promises, and he kept them. I have the story here of Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson was the first missionary to leave America to go to another mission field. He went in the 18th century. He went actually in the 19th century. the early 1800s. His first wife died, and then while he was in Burma translating the Burmese Bible, he was arrested, and 10 years of his translation work was confiscated. He lost it. No, he didn't save it on hard drives. He was thrown into prison. He believed in a Christian future for Burma. And now he's languishing in prison. And a prison guard mocked him and said, "What do you think of Burma's future now?" And Judson is famous for saying at that moment, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." He was later released, translated the Burmese Bible, and tens of thousands of Burmese Christians today can trace their salvation back to the work of Adoniram Judson. In the Baptist Meeting House in Malden, Massachusetts, there's a marble tablet, and on it is engraved these words: "In memoriam, Reverend Adoniram Judson, born August 9, 1788, died April 12, 1850. Malden, his birthplace. The ocean, his sepulcher. Converted Burmese and the Burman Bible, his monument. His record is on high." That's what the promises of God get you. Jesus commissioned his apostles. He commissioned us. He gave us that great commission. And he did it based on what? All authority was his. All authority, he said, is given to me. Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Because I have authority, in my authority I'm telling you to go. And how does he tell us to operate? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's our authority. Not brazen, but bold. Not conceited, not cocky, but confident and courageous. But how do we do it? What is our equipping for the task? What is our equipment for this task? What was Joshua's? What was Joshua's military equipment? In verse 6, we get it. He says, God says, "You will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance." And here's your equipping: "Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left." Did you notice how God worded that? He didn't say be courageous in battle. Be courageous when you face the enemy. Be courageous when you march around city walls. He said, be bold and courageous to obey my word. It takes courage to do the word of God. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22, deceiving your own selves. And so Joshua was told, here's how you get your equipment. Your equipment is called my word. That beautiful verse, verse 8. "This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night." That's your military equipping. "So that you may carefully observe everything written in it, and then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do." "But God, don't I need a sword?" You have one, the sword of the Spirit. And, you know, Joshua didn't succeed by the sword. He succeeded only when he obeyed God, because right after the Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, he went to this little tiny burg about half the size of Bassett and got beat because they had disobeyed the Lord. Success was not by the sword for Joshua. When Jesus commissioned his disciples, when Christ commissioned his disciples, he told them to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and doing what? Teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. Teaching them to observe my word. It was the word for Joshua. It's the word for us. So God has given his authority. God has given his appropriation. But then he gives his assurance. God promised Joshua three times in this chapter, in this passage, what? I have given you, I am the one who has given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. That's in verse 3. Verse 5, I will be with you just as I was with Moses. Verse 9, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He was assured because of who was with him. He was assured because of who was with him. We studied a course called Share Christ Without Fear. It was taught by Bill Fay, and Bill Fay said something that just rattled me to my core. He said, witnessing is the one thing you can do in the Christian life that you can't mess up. You can't mess up. As long as you share Christ, you can't mess up. Why? Because do people come to Christ because of your stellar witness? Or do they come to Christ because God the Father draws them and they obey and they listen? God's got to do the work. You plant, you water, but it's God who's got to give the increase. Folks, I see the corn sprouting. It's a beautiful sight, isn't it? And you know the farmer didn't do a thing to make the corn grow. He planted. Of course, he didn't even water, did he? But ultimately, it's God who gives the increase. Sharing Christ is something you can't mess up. And why can't you mess up? Because Jesus said the same thing to you that he said to Joshua, I am with you always to the end of the age. Because we are with him, that's the key. God offers, first and foremost, his presence. His presence. When I stand before God, as I must one day, I won't be able to go on my own ability, on my own merits. The only thing I can do is look at Jesus and say, I'm with him. I'm with him because of what he did at the cross. And most importantly, never lose sight of it. It's not just what he did on the cross. It's what he did in the tomb. And the thing he did in the tomb was he left. If Jesus hadn't left the tomb, we would have no Savior. And so we follow Jesus. He's the one. I'm with him. I have no argument. I have no plea. It is enough that Jesus died. He rose again, and that he died for me. Has God spoken to you about your need for the Savior? If so, maybe you need to deal with him. You need to work with him today and tell him, I need Jesus with me.